So this morning, we're in the middle of a series called Every Life Matters. Y'all help me preach. Come on, say Every Life Matters. Come on, y'all got to yell at me like I yell at you all the time. Come on, say Every Life Matters. There you go. Y'all waking up this morning. I'm excited about this series because now, more than ever, our society needs to hear this message. The message that every human life is valuable to God. So look at somebody and smile at them and tell them your life matters. And I talked about this a couple weeks ago. I really have two goals for you in this series. Number one, I want you to know how valuable you are. Number two, I want you to live a life free from man-made limitations. Some of you have been bound up far too long by limitations that people have imposed on you. Somebody told you you're not smart enough. You don't have enough education. You're not bright enough. You don't have enough money. You're the wrong color. You're the wrong gender. You're too old. You're too young. Listen, the devil is a liar. God can do anything with anybody if they put their faith in him. So I want you to get set free from man-made limitations. And today we're going to look at the issue of gender. Now, let me give you a quick disclaimer. Can I give you a disclaimer this morning? When I say that gender doesn't matter, I'm not saying that your gender identity doesn't matter. Let me clear that up because it does. If God made you a man, you're a man. And you should embrace every aspect of that identity because that's who God made you to be. If God made you to be a woman, then you're a woman. And you should celebrate that fact because that's the way that God made you. And I don't mean to be insensitive, but I can't for the life of me understand why people today are asking the question, am I a man or am I a woman? If you're not sure whether you're a boy or a girl, there is a very simple test to determine which one you are, but I'm not going to talk about that in church. But I think, see me after service and I'll write it out for you, okay? But listen, I think the reason that people are struggling with these gender issues is because they really have no idea who they are. And the reason they don't know who they are is that apart from Jesus Christ, you will never discover your true identity. That's why people today so desperately need the Lord. I think about Bruce Jenner. He can call himself a woman. He can dress like a woman and talk like a woman and have surgery to change his body on the outside. But I'm sorry, Brucey, I hate to tell you, but you're still a man. Why? Because your Creator designed you to be that way. And you'll never be happy until you learn to live life His way. I recently read an article about a man who went through a similar past as Bruce Jenner. He actually had gender reassignment surgery, and after that reassignment surgery, he eventually put his faith in Jesus Christ. But he said in this article, he said, I changed my appearance on the outside, but it did nothing to stop the hurting on the inside. This man went on to say that it was only when he surrendered his life to Jesus that he realized who he really was, and it was only through Jesus Christ that he was healed of the pain and the agony deep within his heart. And maybe you're here today, or maybe you're listening on the internet and you're struggling with your gender identity. Listen to me. God doesn't hate you. And we don't hate you. God loves you. So don't you doubt that for a second. God, the Bible says that God loves you with an everlasting love. That means that God will never stop loving you. But God wants you to embrace who He created you to be. God gave you your gender identity, and He wants you to celebrate that and to embrace who you are in Him. Amen? So if you're struggling with gender, here's what you need to do. Surrender your life to Jesus. Because we can't fix ourselves. Psychologists can't fix us. Oprah can't fix us. Dr. Phil can't fix us. Dr. Oz can't fix us. Listen, Pastor Josh can't fix you. Only Jesus can fix you and restore you and heal you. There is no boot camp. There is no rehab to help fix a gender identity issue. There is one thing and one thing only, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ that will heal you and restore your life. Amen. So today I'm not really talking about those type of gender issues, although I guess I kind of just did. But in the future, in the not too distant future, I'm going to really talk about gender identity. I'm going to talk about homosexuality. I'm going to talk about other GBLT issues, what the Bible says about them, and what we as a church can do to love them and see them, reach them for Jesus Christ. Amen. So y'all be ready for that. But let's talk about the ladies this morning for a little while. Listen, if you look at the church historically, many times the church is portrayed as a he-man, woman-hating club. Church is portrayed as an organization that seeks to suppress women and deny them of their rights and hold them back. But the truth is, when you look at what the Bible says, the opposite is actually true. So today, there are two things. I've got 15 minutes. I'm going to use all 15 minutes. I'm going to try not to use any more. But there are two things that I want you to understand. Number one, men and women are of equal value. Men and women are of equal value. And if that makes you uncomfortable, I'm going to make you real uncomfortable. I want you to say that. Come on, tell somebody, men and women are of equal value. The Bible says in Genesis 1:27 that God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. So according to the Bible, men aren't the only ones made in the image of God. Sorry, guys, I hate to be the one to tell you this morning, but the Bible says that male and female are made in the image of God. So sorry, guys, you aren't the whole package. You see, we don't even get the whole picture of who God is without the ladies. Let the ladies say amen this morning. Okay, so we as men and women together, we form the image of God. It doesn't say that man was made in God's image and that female was made in man's image. No, no, no. We both are designed directly to represent who God is. Why is your gender identity important? Because it reflects God's identity. And I'm so thankful for Genesis 1:27 because it tells us that we are each equally important. So men aren't somehow more important than women. We are of equal value. And unfortunately, there are many who don't understand that. And there are people out there who try to belittle women and even suppress them. And honestly, it's a shame that in 2015, when men and women are doing the exact same job, men are still getting paid 23% more than women. People might say that you are somehow less valuable, but God says otherwise. So men and women are both made in the image of God. And I don't know if you've noticed, but there are a few differences between men and women. Men and women are different. Hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I thank God that there is a difference between men and women. And though we are different, our differences don't somehow make one gender more important than the other. We're equally valuable. We are different because each gender represents different aspects of the nature of God. Okay? Though we are different, we are of equal importance. Look at Genesis 2:18. Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. So if you read the story of creation in Genesis, the Bible says that God created light and said, that's good. God created the earth and he said, that's good. He created the plants and the animals and the trees, and God stood back and said, that's good. The first time that God ever said, that's not good, is when he saw that man was by himself. When God created man and saw that he was alone, he said, that's not good. If God was from Goldsboro, he probably would have said, that ain't right, okay? God said, you know what? Something is missing here. It's not good for man to be alone. Listen, guys, if every woman disappeared from the face of the earth today, we would be in trouble. We would be in serious trouble. First of all, we would have no social skills. Okay? That's the first problem. The second problem is we would not know how to coordinate our outfits. Sometimes I sneak out on Sunday morning before my wife inspects my clothes, and sometimes she calls me in the office after church, and she said, did you really wear that with that and that, okay? All right, so we would have no social skills. We wouldn't know how to dress, and personally speaking, I wouldn't know how to find anything. I don't know what it is, but sometimes I wake up in the morning and God plays a joke on me and he turns off half of my brain because I can't find anything. I could walk in here and I couldn't find the first pew without calling my wife and saying, have you seen the first pew? And she would say in a loving voice, have you tried looking for it? Well, yes, I've looked everywhere. She said, have you looked right in front of you? Oh, there it is. We would be in trouble. Some of y'all ain't going to be honest, but I'm going to say I would be in a predicament, okay? Come on, tell somebody it's not good for a man to be alone. So look back at Genesis 2:8. God said, I will make him a helper comparable to him. Notice that he didn't say, I will make him a helper inferior to him. God didn't say, I will make him a helper subordinate to him. No, God said, I will make him a helper comparable to him. In other words, a helper equal to him. See, God designed marriage to be a partnership, not a dictatorship. We're going to have low attendance at the next men's ministry meeting. I can just feel it. God designed marriage to be a partnership, not a dictatorship. Now, don't get me wrong. God has designated men to be the spiritual leaders of the home. That's God's ultimate plan. Listen, guys, if you want to be a real man, let me tell you what real men do. Real men lead the way to church on Sunday morning. Real men aren't ashamed to worship Jesus in front of their children. Real men ought to lead the way. But that doesn't mean that men are superior to women. Remember, men and women are of equal importance. What it does mean is that God has designated the men as the leader in the home. Do men always rise to the challenge and fulfill that role in their family? Unfortunately, many times they don't. And guess what happens when men fail to be spiritual leaders? God will raise up a woman to do it. Y'all, that's a good place to say amen right there. Listen, ladies, you are just as capable of being a spiritual leader as any man. In fact, I know many women, some in this church, who have risen up and become the spiritual leaders of their household, and they're doing a mighty fine job. So listen, you don't have to sit. I know I might not get a whole lot of amens, but listen, let me tell you something. You don't have to sit there and wait for a man to come along into your life before you can be somebody. Because listen, you can prosper and grow and be blessed and raise godly children all by yourself if you just trust in Jesus. So men and women are of equal value. Jesus actually had some radical teachings about women. It was in the first century AD. Think about that. In the first century AD, it was a man's world, especially in Jewish culture. Okay? Women weren't allowed to be priests or rabbis or scribes, and most of them were never allowed to work outside of the home. Women couldn't be leaders, they couldn't be teachers, they couldn't have access to education, they couldn't even own property of their own. Okay? It was a man's world. In fact, when people took attendance at events, they didn't even count the women. Tell somebody that's messed up. Okay, they would take events and they wouldn't even include the women in the attendance. And it gets even worse than that. There was a prayer that Jewish rabbis would pray every morning, and many Jewish men pray this prayer even to this very day. It's called the Three Blessings. Anybody ever heard of the Three Blessings? It's a prayer they pray every morning, and this is what they pray. Almighty God, thank you for not making me a Gentile. Thank you for not making me a slave, and thank you for not making me a woman. Now, if you're a woman, I want you to find a man sitting near you and stare at them. Okay, come on. Find a guy, stare at him, point your finger at him, and tell him, don't even think about it. Okay. But listen, this was a pretty tough culture for the ladies. The men of ancient Jewish culture believed that women only had one place, and that was barefoot, pregnant, in the kitchen. Now, I disagree with them. I think that women should have a right to choose whether they have on shoes or not while they're pregnant in the kitchen. Oh, I'm just kidding. Come on, ladies, put down your throwing knives. That was just a joke. But seriously, Jewish men believed that the Old Testament commandment, be fruitful and multiply, was a commandment for all able-bodied Jewish people. That meant that women were restricted to a domestic role of raising children and caring for the household and nothing more. Let me tell you what that meant in the first century AD. It meant that marriage was not an option, it was a requirement. And if you were a woman and you didn't get married, in their culture, you were considered lower than dirt. But here's the good news. Jesus comes along and makes a radical statement. I don't know if y'all know this, but Jesus was pretty radical. And he still is pretty radical. People say, well, the Bible's outdated. The Bible's behind the times. Listen, if somebody tells you that, you need to ask them, say to them, have you ever read the Bible? Because Jesus is radical. Listen to the statement that Jesus made in the first century AD. Jesus comes along and says, you know what? You can choose to stay single. And the Pharisees said, crucify him. Come on, Jesus called that in Matthew 19:12. He calls that living as a eunuch for the sake of the kingdom. So Jesus broke the stereotypical mold for women of his day. Not only did Jesus teach that they could be single if they chose to be single, he also stepped in to protect married women from being abandoned by scrubs. That's from the KJV version, the King Josh version. You see, women of that day were completely dependent upon men. And if a husband divorced his wife, she didn't have anything. He'd take the house, he'd take the chariot, he'd take the goats, he'd take the donkey, he'd take the kids, he'd take everything, and she was left with nothing. And Jesus stepped in and said, no. You see, the culture of the day said that men could divorce women for any reason. Come on, if he didn't like your tone of voice, he could divorce you. If you burnt his food, he could divorce you. If he didn't like your mama, he could divorce you. And men were leaving their wives over frivolous things, but Jesus stepped in and said, I don't think so. Matthew 19, verse 3. The Pharisees came to him, testing him, saying to Jesus, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason?" And he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female?" I think we read that somewhere earlier today. And he said, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." You see, Jesus lived in a culture where marriage was disposable. Does that sound familiar to anybody this morning? Jesus lived in a culture where marriage was disposable, but Jesus taught that marriage is a lifelong covenant. Jesus stood up on behalf of women who lived in fear that they would be abandoned by their husbands. Jesus was radical. You may or may not know this, but another radical thing about Jesus is that he had female disciples. No, Judas wasn't really named Judy. Let me explain this right here in the Bible. In Luke chapter 8, the Bible says in Luke 8 verse 1, "It came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him with their substance." Maybe some of you guys are seeing this for the first time. When I read this the other week, it just blew my mind. Purple smoke everywhere, okay? Because in addition to the 12 disciples, there was a large group of people, including women, who followed Jesus as disciples. Joanna, Mary Magdalene, Susanna, and many others. And let me tell you, this was not the norm in the first century AD. In fact, nowhere in recorded history do we see female disciples before Jesus shows up. And one of them, Mary Magdalene, was the first person to see Jesus after he was raised from the dead. That was not a coincidence, in case you're wondering. Okay? Jesus didn't just raise from the dead and walk around aimlessly till he bumped into somebody. "Oh, hey, Mary, how you?" No. Our God is a methodical God who plans out the history of the world before he creates the world. So it was very intentional that Mary was the first person to see Jesus. Now, I want you to think about this. You might want to put your seatbelt on this morning, because this might shake you up a little bit. But the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you'll be saved. You know what that means? The first Christian. I hear the lady shouting already. The first person to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead was Mary Magdalene. I'm just saying. I don't know if that blows your mind. It blew my mind. You know, when the Holy Spirit revealed that to me right before we started praise and worship this morning, even I missed that one. Boom. If you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, you'll be saved. Take that to junior Bible quiz competition, all right? Mary was the first person to tell anybody that Jesus rose from the dead. Basically, Mary was the first evangelist. Okay? Now, we're going to talk about women in ministry next Sunday. So y'all got to come back for part two if you want to hear about the role of women in ministry. And let me warn you. If you are super religious and you don't believe that women should speak in church, that women should teach, that women should be in leadership, if you don't believe that women should have any kind of role or any kind of authority in the church, you might want to bring an extra diaper next Sunday, because I'm going to make you real nervous when I talk about what the Bible says. I better calm down. But listen, there are Bible passages that talk about women's roles, and a lot of people take certain passages and preach on them, but we're going to talk about those next week in light of what the whole Bible says, with what Jesus says, and with what God says in His Word. Okay, so y'all come back next Sunday, whether you agree with me or don't. I hope you come back anyway. It's going to be fun. Okay, but the two things I want to leave you with today. Number one, men and women are of equal value. Number two, men and women have equal status in God's kingdom. Look with me at Galatians 3:26. Galatians 3:26. For the Bible says that you are all sons of God. Somebody say all. All in Galatians 3:26 in the original Greek means all. Everybody, you are all sons of God. For as many of you as are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, it's interesting to me that it says you're all sons of God, because this was a man's world. In the first century AD, if you were not a man, you didn't have any rights, you didn't have any privileges, you didn't have any income. Only sons received inheritance. So this is very significant that it says right here that you are all sons of God, even the ladies. Men and women, we are all considered, spiritually speaking, we are all considered sons of God. So look at somebody and say, "What up, son?" I know it sounds a little weird, but ladies, you are called sons of God. That means that you have the right of inheritance, every privilege, every benefit of being a child of God belongs to you. There is no hierarchy in Christianity where men are up here and women are down there. Listen to me. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Men and women have equal status in God's kingdom. Now look at verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Praise God. You remember how when they took attendance back then, they didn't count the women. Were y'all paying attention when I said that? That some of y'all were paying too much attention. Y'all about to throw something at somebody. But listen, back then they didn't even count the women. But here's something interesting to me, is that God did. God did. You don't believe me? Just read the book of Acts. The Bible says on the day of Pentecost, there were 120 men and women gathered in the upper room. Now, if that's not enough to convince you, let me tell you something. When the Holy Spirit falls upon them, the Bible says that God sent 120 flames from heaven. That means that God counted everybody, all the men, all the women, and guess what? God poured out His Holy Spirit on all of them. So ladies, listen, men might count you out, but God never discounts you. He always counts you. You're always significant. You always matter to Him. Then when the Apostle Peter stood up and gave that famous Pentecost sermon on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, he quoted the prophet Joel that said, "In the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, on your sons and your daughters, your men servants, your maid servants." God wants to pour out His Spirit on men and women, on young and old. For the power of the Holy Spirit is for everybody. So I want you to know this morning, whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, listen, you are equally valuable to God. And you have equal status in His kingdom. The Bible says, if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. If you're here this morning and you haven't made that decision, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to butter it up. I'm not going to make it sound sweet. I'm going to tell you the fact. You're lost without Jesus. And I don't say that to be blunt, because I was lost without Jesus. In order for God to change your life, you have to first realize that you can't change yourself. You cannot fix yourself. I'll never forget, I had an old computer and the power supply went bad on it. This was before the days of Google, so I got on dogpile.com and I looked up, how do you replace power supply? So I had all the advice, I had all the instructions, I had this list of things to do. Take this screw out, disconnect this wire, unplug it from the wall before you do any of that. And in about 3 hours, I had completely destroyed that computer. I had to realize, hey, I can't fix this on my own. What did I do? I took it to the manufacturer. I sent it to the maker and said, hey, I've done a pretty good job of messing this up. Will you please fix it? Listen, we have to realize in this life, doesn't matter how much advice we get, what our friends say, what the world says. It doesn't matter all of these self-help books. You can listen to all the tapes, all the podcasts. Listen, you can't fix yourself. And when you realize that, it's pretty easy to say, you know what? Take me to the one who made me. Listen, you were made by God. You are not an accident. You are not a mistake. You are the most valuable thing on this planet because God made you in his own image. Listen, I don't care how broken you are. Give your life to Jesus. He'll fix you. He'll restore you. He'll heal you. He'll put back together the broken pieces. I challenge you. I dare you this morning. Make the decision to follow Jesus. Don't let another day pass you by. Listen, God operates in the now. God operates in the now. In the Bible, God said, I am. Not I was. Not I will be. Not maybe 20 years from now. No, God said, I am. I am. God is. He is here this morning. He is ready to save you. He knows your name. He knows your story. He knows your pain. He knows your brokenness. And today is your chance. This is your opportunity right now in this moment. This is your chance to follow him. This morning, with every eye opened and everybody looking around, I want to ask you something. And I want you to be honest with me. How many of you this morning can say without a shadow of a doubt, Jesus is mine. I belong to him. You can put your hand down this morning. If you're here this morning and you couldn't raise your hand, I want you to leave this place today with the confidence to say, you know what? I know that Jesus is mine and I am his. I want you to be able to leave this place boldly declaring that you are a child of God. I'm going to pray in just a moment, and as I pray, I want you to think and just allow the Holy Spirit to deal with your heart. Allow God to deal with you this morning. Because God wants to turn somebody's life around today. Somebody, I can sense it so strong this morning. Somebody is going to walk out of this place today and say, you know what? Sunday, October 11th, 2015 at 12:12 in the afternoon in Goldsboro, North Carolina, Jesus saved me. I made the decision to follow him. This is your moment. You're the reason we're here today. You are the reason we came this morning. To let you know that we love you and God loves you. And you have a family. You have a group of men and women who are going to walk with you and help you on your journey to Jesus. But it starts with a simple decision. Let's pray for a moment. Lord, I thank you for those who were here this morning. I thank you for every hand that went up to boldly say, Jesus has changed my life. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for those testimonies. But Lord, I thank you most of all that there are men and women in this room. There are men and women listening by CD and over the internet who have not made that decision. God, I thank you for them. I thank you that they're listening. I thank you that this is their moment and this is their opportunity to be set free, to be changed. And Father, I pray for them. I thank you that you love them, that you care for them. Lord, that you love them enough to die for them. I thank you, God. Thank you for the right decision they're getting ready to make in this moment. While everybody's eyes are closed and everybody's praying, you say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to choose Jesus this morning. Just raise your hand. Raise that hand up boldly today. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Lord, I thank you for those who have boldly said, I'm going to make that decision today. I thank you, Lord. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer this morning. I want everybody to pray this prayer out loud together. Come on, pray with me. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus, I can't fix myself. Lord, I've tried, but I just can't do it. So right now, I give my life to you. Come on, just lift your hands to Jesus and say, Jesus, fix me. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, restore me. Put back together the broken pieces. I receive your love. I receive your mercy. I receive your forgiveness. Jesus, thank you for loving me. And because you love me, I love you too. Come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. Be the leader of my life. Be my Savior. Be my closest friend. In your wonderful name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you've made the greatest decision of your lifetime.